Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Introducing the greatest animated series you've never seen, Lightning Dogs. These canine commandos are lost on a post-apocalyptic Earth and battling the forces of the evil Glampire. It's a tribute to the cartoons and sci-fi of the 80s and 90s, and Nerdy Show is hell-bent on bringing it to life. Blocks sold separately. Join us as we document our quest from the moment lightning struck to every world-building session and beyond, and make our crazy dream a reality. Roll with the pack at lightningdogs.com.
The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com. Hey, we're back, guys.
Yay!
All
right, yeah. And we do have Doug.
None of us died.
Which means that he can actually give us a little bit of Doug Watch spoilers.
I'm watching Doug. I'm enjoying it.
By the time this airs, if you wanted to have watched Doug, you will have needed to be in North Carolina twice.
Oh, yeah, it's coming out that far ahead.
I like a segment called Doug Disagrees, because just listen to the playsets, but the
design episodes.
Design episodes, just, well, we all think this. And Doug's like, nah. I'm like,
hold on, Doug. So what you're telling me.
I wouldn't quite say that. It's just a matter of just like, you're like, pocket sand. I really want pocket sand. Yeah. I'm just like, I don't get it.
Like, everyone's like,
look, it's an in-joke, Doug. You don't know it.
Okay. It's fun. And you're like,
it's an in-joke with all of America except for Doug.
Pocket sand is a universal joke.
I'm just saying, why is it a feat?
Like, what about?
Why can't anybody pick up pocket sand and just do it?
What if we called it Paul Bearer? Would that make you happier?
Paul Bearer?
You remember Paul Bearer would pocket sand people?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
I don't know what you're talking about
now. Paul Bearer.
I'm just saying.
WWE.
Or
WWF
who was Yokozuna's manager.
Oh, I remember Goldust doing that.
I made a couple quick changes, and I think we talked about one of them before. But so Pocket Sand changed the duration. Instead of a D6 of rounds, it's 2 rounds flat.
All right. That way
you can count on it. It does what it's going to do, and that's still devastating.
Yeah, 6 rounds for Pocket Sand.
That's horrible.
Whatever enemy you're fighting is out of the fight.
Yeah. Unless we can upgrade the pocket sand to like metal filings.
My eyes!
Napalm. Pocket napalm.
Don't get an MRI. You know? All right. We're going to talk about step 3 today and what should be in it. I got some ideas. I think you guys will like some of them, but I'm lost on several of them. But I want to first get into equipment because we've been talking about money, and money in our system is useless unless you can buy stuff with it.
True.
So obviously there are things like vehicles, food. We can come up with that stuff later. But what about things people want for their characters? I think that magic items, I'm not going to worry about those right now because I almost want a lot of those to be campaign specific. But there should be baseline for those later. And I've got a couple ones that I'll probably bring out in the campaign eventually. But I was thinking that for magical items as a rule, maybe you can apply them to a weapon or yourself. It will do something different depending on what it is. And that's the rule. So anything we introduce where it's a magic item, it either augments a weapon or you.
So you like wear it as a necklace or put it in the hilt of your sword. How does it work physically in the game space?
Okay, well, this is generic and probably not the one we'll go with. But let's say it's a gem of fire. Adds a D6 fire damage to your sword.
Uh-huh.
All right. Or when an enemy hits you, they take a D6 fire damage. That's simple, right? Like the concept is really simple. I feel like that's too simple for that to be the sole answer, but going forward, how do you feel that as a rule? Is you don't introduce magical swords, you don't introduce magical... Well, sorry. You can introduce magical swords, and they have their own effects and stuff like that, because that way they can hand it off to another player, and it may mean something different.
What's your personal limit on augments you can have on your person? 1? 3?
I don't know if I want a limit.
So you just start hella stacking?
Here's my thing, all right?
I'm playing, Mr. T it up in here?
Like, I'm playing Pathfinder, and my boots, my necklace, I'm wearing a crown, a cape. All these things are magical items, right?
Uh-huh.
But I can only have one ring on each hand.
Yeah.
It's weird, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, even in Skyrim for the longest time, unless you downloaded the mod, you only had one ring on one hand.
Yeah.
Personally, I've seen people wear more than two.
I know. Remember the character, the Mandarin? He had like three on each finger.
I also personally find that people with many, many rings creep me out. it's a physical look that I find very distasteful.
Well, now I know what character I'm going to play in your campaign.
Great. Cool. I'll hate him.
I don't know. I don't think a limit
helps
you.
Like, you can't put 10 rings on each finger. So
we're not even talking about magic boots. We're talking about it would just be like a slotted item that you could put in anything.
If you could put 5 necklaces on your neck in reality, why can't you do it in the game?
Yeah, where you have one necklace in each amulet. You could put a bunch of them on there, like a charm bracelet.
Maybe again, some cancel each other out.
But I'm saying the reality of doing that physically is fine. There's no reason for that. There's so many mechanical reasons where you'd be like, well, shit.
I think it's easy to say, like, you can't have both fire and ice damage on your sword.
All right.
Like, so maybe if you have a damage type, like a magical, like a damage augment, the stronger one takes precedence.
How about for anything over 2 necklaces, you lose charisma?
Yeah. That's not a bad idea.
Unless you're wearing a tracksuit.
Yeah.
Anything more than 2 rings and you start to lose charisma.
You're trying to persuade or intimidate, and people are like, nah.
We don't even use charisma.
But it also, it feels off flavor compared to our slot system, where we're trying to be lean and mean and just put as many on. You're like, fuck, fine, okay.
I would think it still takes a slot. Because it is your capacity to carry things.
All right.
So, but if a ring is not going to take up even a quarter slot, that's easy. But
there's still, then your carry weight or even the armor you wear.
Like, if you've got a lantern that does something, that's probably a full slot, you know? I think we just go item by item, and we can make simple rules where things will override each other.
Uh-huh.
Where the more powerful magical augment overrides.
Like, if you have a cloak that makes you invisible, you can't automatically have something that lets you shoot fire because it should reveal like where you are.
Well, I think you could make that into the cloak, though. You could say, you know, you are invisible until you attack.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. And
but it's just slotting 10 fire augments and going like, oh, anytime I get hit, it's now 56 pure fire damage.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay, no. I was imagining. I thought you meant like, can I have a weapon that I can augment with fire, and then also when it crits, I can now fly for 6 feet, and then also I can send it out and it comes back to me. I don't think any of those things conflict. You know what I mean?
Like, no, that's fine.
But I mean, you can imagine 20 different effects like that that don't conflict with each other. I'd be like, yeah, fine, have it. I mean, if you found them in your adventure, like, and your group doesn't, you know, kill you for using all of them instead of giving them to anybody else, I don't have a problem with it.
All right.
But that's what I was thinking about that. But other specific equipment, I was thinking about things. Gesundheit.
Thank you. Live long and prosper.
I see you too. I think a good place to start on things that people will want to carry in their pack is things that just provide a flat +5 bonus to an activity.
Okay.
What climbing about a flying kit? Guillotine?
You mean the move?
The
wrestling move?
The weapon.
The weapon of flying guillotine. Is that like the turkey guillotine?
It's the thing you throw around someone's neck and you pull it back and chops off their head.
I've never
from
seen
one of those
that.
Wire foo movies.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I maybe think that's think a weapon.
Yeah, that's going in the wire foo expansion.
When
obviously.
You said hit
Which
someone with a sword and let you fly
not a
for
bad
6
idea
feet.
When we start doing that, we're just going to go this genre, like that. We'll do that. That'll be fun.
So what I was thinking is, let's think of things that just give you a flat 5 bonus to a skill check.
All right.
Climbing kit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you can kind of. I think you can kind of play around with what's in a climbing kit.
Yeah.
Like, conceptually, you don't have to think that hard about it. You're like, I got some rope, right? Like, we get an example, like 100 feet of rope, grappling hook.
Maybe a climbing kit versus a spelunking kit.
Yeah.
That would be two different.
Or the hammer.
A hammer and some tiny pitons or pitons or whatever how you pronounce it. That's fine. Anybody using it, and everybody in the group can use it at the same time. You know?
Yeah,
you
it is.
You throw it up
a,
there, yeah. you everybody gets a +5. Trauma kit.
Yeah.
You want to stop somebody from losing momentum while we wait to heal them after they drop to 0. I feel like that gives you a +5 to your medicine check.
For stabilization?
Right, because wasn't it a DC 10?
Yeah.
Yeah. So DC 10 to stabilize them so they stop bleeding momentum. And also, you can just do it for other stuff. So you could do it to, when we create conditions later, like, let's say, broken limb.
Magic can't fix a broken leg.
Right, so it can close a wound, but it can't fix a broken leg. So,
splint.
You would splint a wound with it. You'd use gauze. You've got all that kind of stuff to kind of treat that and diseases, and maybe you got some painkillers in there, some tinctures.
Something Kitty could use, the disguise kit.
A disguise kit is good. Yeah, I like that. Disguise kit.
Good thievery item.
So what would you have for thievery?
Lockpicks.
Lockpicks, but I also think you could have
a thieves kit.
Thieves kit, but I'm even seeing... thieves kit. How about something for sleight of hand, which is just like literally called a magician's cloak.
It's just
got extra shit in it.
It's a box of magic
I feel
kits.
Like that's...
magic tricks.
That is a bag.
That you can just slip things in out of?
Yeah, it is a bag, and it is the cloak you're wearing.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't wear it over armor. Like,
no.
What about like a forger's kit? So like fake IDs and stuff, fake papers, get you in and out of places you shouldn't be.
Forger's kit.
Wouldn't that go on scoundrel?
That would almost be like a notary kit, you'd call it, or something like that. Like
A scribe's kit.
Yeah, scribe's kit, a
But I think like a scoundrel version of a scribe kit would be... things you shouldn't have. Stamps.
Well a scoundrel with seals. A regular scribe kit.
That would, yeah.
But I mean, like,
would turn it into a scoundrel scribe kit.
Yes, yeah, so I think kits
wax
is
seals you don't
thinking.
Have,
yeah.
You know?
True, yeah, yeah.
Like, you're not supposed to have the Duke's wax seal, but
I feel
you
like,
do.
I feel like that's a little too far into the plot stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like you got
to
get
You'd have
stuff.
To go steal the Duke's thing.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, I got this. In. Like, that goes in my kit.
Okay. So having
So thieves' tools.
Yes.
Right.
If you stole the Duke's wax kit and you don't have a scribe's kit, then you can't make a copy. But if you have a scribe's kit in your bag, you can make a copy of that wax seal.
Yeah.
All right. I like that.
So torturer's kit, I think, is a classic.
Yes.
On this
travel, torturer's kit, and regular, though.
So half slot, full slot?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
For the on the go.
For the on the go torturer.
What about somebody who wants to repair things?
What are you repairing?
I don't know. You could have repaired that. In part four, you guys could have repaired the catapult. And used it.
Yeah, well, I think you would need...
Doesn't that just really consist of like raw materials like glue and wood and...
I would think...
You need tools.
Tools.
Tools. With tools, you can make... You could be like, you didn't need wood. There's trees. Chop them down.
That's what I'm saying.
You've got chisels, hammers. You've got...
A small book of engineering, like blueprints.
Just maybe that's just like a standard tool kit.
Tool kit.
Yeah.
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 Like, I got one in my car.
One in my car.
But I think you'd need a toolkit, and if you're a blacksmith, though, a travel forge would be its own slot.
Travel's forge would be way more than one slot. I feel
you
like
need
that's
a donkey for that.
Yeah, you put that in the caravan. But that's something you could buy, right? So,
yeah.
So let's think of kits you can carry on you first.
Or again, if you have tools, you could make one.
Or servants. Make them carry it.
We're gonna have to make bricks first. Let's go.
Oh, cooking.
Yeah,
ware.
Yeah, cooking kit, campsite kit.
Survivalist gear.
Each one of those needs to be its own thing because you can trade them between each other and they're reusable, right? So like a tent.
Mm-hmm. A poisoner's kit, maybe.
Alchemical?
Okay.
That would, and that's very general. You could do a lot of things with that. Mm-hmm.
A thief could do some stuff with that too.
Yeah.
Chemistry set, we'll call it that.
Yeah, chemistry set. An erector set.
I actually like the fact that we refer to it as, like, alchemy is its own thing and regular chemists are like, okay, dude.
Yeah. I got my chemistry set. Yeah, because, like,
I'll make magic happen right now. I don't need no alchemy.
Nobody's step one scoundrel right now at all. But somebody goes step one scoundrel to get venom. Like, I would imagine you could use your chemistry set to milk venom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Is alchemy the fan fiction of chemistry?
No. Chemistry is the... Astrology is older than astronomy. Alchemy is older than chemistry. One is a science. One is... We're guessing.
Like a pre-science.
Yeah,
it's pre-science. It's a pre-science because... It was science.
Mythic science.
What if
it's a pre-reason.
A scoundrel kit that helps you cheat at games.
So like loaded dice?
I think we could refer to that as a...
As just the thief kit?
No,
but it's
not
a thief thing.
I think it would be like...
A gambler's kit.
Okay,
so you got the thing up your sleeve that shoots the card out.
Or just, loaded dice, extra cards, fake...
Magnets.
Fake money or something,
Something.
It's got to have like three smoke bombs. For just in case.
When you get found out.
But let's be real. Making fake diron would be way harder than fake paper money.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You have to make it out of wood and then spray paint it, but there's no spray paint because you'd have to make the cans out of steel.
I love about the Baghdad battery. They're like, what was it used for?
Probably electroplating.
Yeah, fake and gold. Like, I love that.
What would you call it? Gambling kit? Gambling cheater? Card counters kit?
Well, I mean, a scoundrel, not really doesn't mean cheater, but...
No, I would go with gamblers.
That's like saying all gamblers are cheaters?
Yeah, but that has what it specifically is, where if you're like, it's a rogue's kit.
It's, yeah,
well,
it's
rogue
a
is
either,
like,
yeah.
I don't
Swindler's
gamble.
Swindler's kit.
Swindler's
Ooh,
kit, I like that.
All right. The Flim Flam kit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The con man kit.
Flim Flam artist. Charlatan. Swindle. Give me my swindle kit.
You don't put your hands on my swindle kit, baby.
We're gonna make a whole lot of money.
Blues man needs a gun. All right.
Instruments?
Yeah, musician's kit.
Yeah, but you don't need a kit. I mean, you have your instrument, right?
Like, if you're a musician, you should have an instrument.
Yeah, but that's not a kit. That's like, I have my guitar, and I've got like a couple small things with it.
You'd have a case for it. It would be filled with what you need for it.
Yeah,
that's how you do it.
You don't need its own. It doesn't need its own special thing.
You want to be that guy who just always has a guitar in his back,
right? But you would need something completely different for a tuba than you would need for a guitar. Like,
a tuba bard.
He's the guy from Outkast.
Yeah, or a Norteño like. Bard
would it be like an orchestral tuba or like the marching tuba?
It's got to be a sousaphone.
It's got to be just the marching
tuba. Got to be a sousaphone.
Those are pretty good. We'd say bedroll's a full slot, right?
So they're just bulky.
Because we don't want to do adventurer's kit. Like, everybody should pick and choose.
Yes.
Right? Because adventurer's kit is just because, like, hey, we know there's a lot of bullshit in this game.
Yeah.
Like, so just if you just pick this, you're fine.
Yeah.
So we got
What does the bedroll get you? Like, why take up a slot to carry it?
So that you can sleep while you're not at camp. So, for instance, you go into a dungeon,
right?
Like, you can't really make camp. You're not going to put up a tent in
right.
a dungeon.
Right, but if you're like in the deepest, darkest dungeon that's like a million fucking miles long, and you're like, well, we have to sleep because we've been marching for 20 hours.
We have to eat what we kill.
Yeah, you eat what you kill, and you just sort of, all right, let's just lay down on the floor on the cold stone and sleep. What I'm really asking is, what's the detractor to doing that versus sleeping on the bedroll?
Well, I think it'd be the same as not having gotten a full rest.
Do we know what that is yet?
We do not know what that is yet. Mm. That definitely should play into it, right? Because because there will be fun ways to do like survivalist campaigns, you know, like the Frost Forge and
What about bag of jerky?
Frostfall, I mean. Bag of jerky. Well, instead of jerky, what about so we got cooking.
I think like a survivalist food stuff.
Like cured
like the Bear Grylls.
I would just like to be able to say that, like, you have this amount of days of food in a slot.
So rations.
Rations and whatever it is.
I would say a week's worth of rations.
And that you don't need to say what the fuck it is. You just have it.
Yeah, but it's only for one person.
Yeah.
That's one slot.
Yeah.
Wait, but that's 16 pounds. So, like, a week's worth of rations.
But could we do, like, gluten-free, you know?
Fuck off. Vegan.
For your diet, yeah, absolutely. Thank you. Just pour the Maria Bamford. Okay. Could you just pour boiling water into my hands, please? I have allergies.
I'm a celiac adventurer.
A full slot is like 3 liters or 16 pounds. It would be like 2 weeks' rations.
Like hardtack and jerky, yeah.
Yeah, and cheese.
I want to do a campaign now where everyone's got some sort of disability. Everyone's got some kind of like, I can't have any dairy. I can't even touch it.
Look at a cow.
That would be fun. That would be fun for 2 sessions, and then by the third session, you'd be like,
why are there so many cows?
All of you.
It's like, oh, I got shingles now. What am I going to do?
It's just like anytime you want to date with anyone who has something like that. And then by the third one, you're like, just eat a fucking hamburger. God damn it.
Vegan Oregon Trail.
Yeah, vegan Oregon Trail.
I can't
eat
that, actually. I know you shot.
Good luck dying.
You've died of starvation. Yeah.
You shot 18,000 pounds of buffalo, but
you carried back 40. Yeah. Can we think of anything else that you need to do? So chemistry.
Oh,
I didn't say
speaking
bedroll.
Of Oregon Trail, what about like cleaning any game that you catch, like to prepare it? Or is that in the cooking kit?
You know, I don't
like
think
a hunter
it is
kit?
Because if you're a hunter, you need survival stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you need. Let's say survival kit is to...
Like hunting and fishing kit?
Let's include survival kit, because that includes means to start a fire, like flint, tinder, like that kind of thing. You're probably carrying around a bunch of dried moss.
Mm. And a field
wood shavings.
Field dress a deer is special.
Yeah, you need bags, you need a bunch of stuff that they probably would just use like burlap. So I'd imagine they have like light burlap sacks. You've got your skinning knife that's only ever used for skinning.
Mm.
So would you call it a skinner's kit? Probably not.
I like hunter.
I like hunting kit, yeah.
Kind of get to the point. Then would there be an angler kit, or would that all be together?
Yeah.
We'll say hunter slash angler kit.
What about outdoorsman?
Outdoorsman.
Outdoors.
Sounds more
creature.
Recreational. Yeah.
Well, because there's survival kit, mm-hmm. right? Did we do that one? I don't think we did.
We mentioned it. Survival kit just more like super bare bones. Like, we need fucking fire, and we need something to cover our head.
Yeah.
And then we'll worry about food after we get that shit squared away.
Well, why don't we talk about what kits would be, and then we can break them down into their component parts and assign prices to them that will
Cool.
Do the kit. But each one of these kits is one full slot. Does that work?
Yep.
Okay, and then each thing within it maybe is slightly more, but when you put it together in a kit, it's designed to be in a kit, so it'll take up less room. We got our jacket bag, which I think it's a tack jack, right?
Oh, tactical jacket?
Yeah. It's got stuff to... You can hold like 50 knives in the Alamar tack jack.
Ooh.
Yeah, but I want it to be flavored for the thing that it's supposed to be.
Sure. Well, I would say like you would say like a jacket with multiple pockets, right? Yeah. So we could come up with a generic name.
Cargo jacket.
Actually, you know what? That works.
Might as well, yeah.
Cargo jacket.
You're packing a bunch, yeah.
I saw a post that said women hate cargo shorts because they are tactically superior to purses. And that is true on both accounts.
Well, it's just flaunting because they won't give women pockets.
Yeah,
and
that's what I was just about to say. Just
as many, how many pockets you want?
Women's
pockets?
Pants are the dumbest thing. Yeah. Like,
oh, but they make your butt look so good.
Yeah, but they could do it with pockets.
Yeah, they could. Have it be socially acceptable for you to wear a backpack that actually functions, please.
Or a backpack that actually functions.
God, every time a girl hands me a backpack, I'm like, this is not a backpack.
This is a wallet.
This does not meet the minimum requirements of a backpack. And they're like, it's a pack that puts you on your back. And you're like, that I can fit none of the things that I would carry in a backpack.
There are no shoulder straps. It has strings.
Yeah. Both. Yeah, fuck off.
I love my backpack. It's pretty great.
I got
all kinds of pockets.
Well, what I if love we mine. Just it's nice.
I have a tactical backpack made out of hemp full of survival supplies.
Yeah. I have the backpack of holding.
Oh, that's true. Ooh. You do.
I like it a lot.
You can fit, what is it, like 450 cubic feet of stuff in there?
I don't know about that.
Only ever weighs 15 pounds?
It definitely is a lot more than it looks.
Yeah. Each of these gives you a +5 to the associated check, right? So hunting, angling, that kind of thing. 2 weeks rations. That's not a kit. Chemistry set? Absolutely. Swindler. Cooking, torturer, thieves' tools, disguise, climbing, trauma. This is perfect. Like,
yeah,
we all agree on that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's get into step three. Step three needs a feature.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to do that right now. I want to do a utility, an at-will utility that fundamentally augments them forever.
Okay.
So I'll tell you the ideas that I have, and we're going to really have to spitball on the stuff that I don't.
So that's like pocket sand?
Yes, it's like pocket sand.
What if Command had like a mirror?
They could blind him with it?
Yeah.
That's good. I'm thinking of a little bit bigger. So,
like a bigger mirror?
How about Archimedes' laser?
Yeah.
So,
or Archimedes' death ray, right?
Two Command and one burning ray. You just shoot the burning ray into the mirrors. Intensifies.
So for fire, I think this is an easy one. You can create 3 balls of fire. They provide light. They provide heat. They can start fires with them. And you can move them as your move action. It's a swift action to create one. It's a move action to move it. If it hits somebody, it does a D6 of fire damage. And you can leave it behind to light your way. And you can leapfrog through them to walk through dungeons.
Or you
can
create a wall with it. Or
yeah, you could ward off an area, that kind of thing.
Denial, that'd be good. Yeah,
that's just very, very functional.
Takes up one space fully.
Yeah, I like that. It's useful.
Simple. You could think of 100 different ways to use it. How far can you be from it? Because you could send it with your move action. Maybe you can only move as far as you can. And then once it's out of your sight, because if you go around the corner, you should be able to sustain.
Yeah, it's got to be a distance thing.
100 feet?
Yeah, and if we need to change it, we'll change it.
Okay. So three fireballs, 100 feet?
Yeah. It's a good way to measure distance if you just have a giant hole and you just drop the fireball in it and it goes out. You're like, okay, that's real deep.
It's
more than 100 feet.
Yeah.
So 3 fireballs, 100 feet, 1d6 fire.
Can't drop it. It has to move at 6 squares at a time. Like, okay, all right.
Wait. Okay. The climbing kit. I have a 100-foot rope. Dangle at the bottom, drop another fireball, and it still disappears. Oh, guys, I don't feel good. Get me out of here.
Pull me up.
Oh, my God. Pulling up Esmond on a 100-foot rope would just be the worst.
A nightmare.
Better than any monster you'd face down there. Just that's scary enough.
So ice, I think very similar. You can create 2 items. You can't have more than 2 active, and you have to actively sustain them. It doesn't cost you an action. It's a swift action to create it, and anything else you want to do with it, you do it. It's a simple item, has no moving parts. So you can create weapons, you can create shields, you can create...
Like T-1000?
Yeah. T-1000 rules.
Okay. Knives and stabbing weapons.
Yeah. So I think I mentioned this to Keith. I think it was Keith, and he said like, oh, you create... Or maybe it was Max, where he's like, you create a scoundrel that just makes icicles to stab people with, that kind of thing. Or, oh, well, I'm going to use an axe now. I'm going to use a great axe. And you're like, cool, it doesn't have anything else augmenting it, but it is a full usable weapon right now. Or you're like, I need a shield. I need two. Shit. Like, like that kind of thing.
You can give them to other people?
Yes.
How long do they last?
As long as you sustain them. Till the end of the scene. How about that?
I like that.
If you get to that step, that's less things you have to carry.
You can create a wand, right? And use your ice wand to cast. That'd be actually pretty cool.
No reason not to, yeah.
Idea-wise. Or a staff of ice that you... That's pretty cool.
If you're like someone who decided, we're going to do a risky thing where I'm not going to bring my weapons, you need to make my weapons. We're going to save this because we have to carry something really important that's liable to the main quest.
I love this idea.
And then it's just like, you better make damn sure that ice caster is alive and well.
Oh, because if they go down I don't have a weapon anymore.
Yeah, just melts in your hand and you're fucked.
Yeah, if you fall unconscious... They get one more round.
Yeah.
Zealotry, it was something we talked about that we didn't implement, was shared zeal. The idea that you could share your core bonus. Here's why I don't like it. What if you're not core zealotry?
Yeah, then this. Yeah, that utility for this path doesn't make sense.
Doesn't do anything for you. How about decay? You guys like Boku no Hero Academia? Max, don't answer.
I've never seen it.
I love it.
All right. What about JoJo's Bizarre Adventure? Also an anime.
Never seen it.
It's all right.
What about Toe Jam and Earl?
It's pretty cool. Not the direction I'm going, though. Legend of Zelda, Shadow Link.
We're looking for a frame of reference here, Max.
All right,
I don't need one. I'm good.
Here's my idea. What if you could weaponize your shadow?
Like Peter Pan?
Yeah, Peter Pan would have been a better reference.
Peter Pan would have been the reference for that, definitely.
Well, you create a shadow figure.
Naruto would have been a fucking reference for it.
That's like a dark version of your soul, like or Persona, like in the Persona games. Anyway, you could send it out 60 feet, let's say. It manifests immediately. Wherever you want it to be. And I think as a move action, you can switch places with it.
Ooh.
Like Dragonheart 3.
I like that, but...
No, that allows him to move faster, but he doesn't, like, swap places and be able to move it. It moves...
He can't move his shadow, but he can move through shadow.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What if you can move it with a move action instead of you moving? It can only do melee attacks. You can't cast from its space. Maybe later in the path you can.
I don't think you should be able to tag with it at all. If you're already doing this, that switch move thing is
if you are a shadow, what type of attack would it even be able to do?
Well, I think slam attack.
For example, like let's say I have a sword and my shadow now has a sword.
Oh, I would think like it would have to hold something.
What if it was like his dark materials? Because it's kind of thinking of that soul
The demon.
So if it was like kind of like a demon, you could. So it's kind of like a familiar kind of thing.
What if I'm like? What if I'm like?
It can take any form you choose.
Yeah, you have a projection of that creature,
and you can, it persists as long as you want it to.
All right. So someone has got me and my buddy at gunpoint, and they're like, "Oh, you know too much. I'm going to have to kill you. But let me tell you my master plan before I do that." Mm-hmm. And I got my hands up. Do I just or whatever, and my shadow leaves me, and then it strangles him from behind? Like, how does that work?
Maybe, like, as he's holding you up, your shadow's already behind him, providing you flanking.
Yeah.
And giving you the upper hand.
But
and then
your
you
shadow
swap places with it and stab him.
Yeah. But I'm like, but if a shadow can attack, can it strangle him? Or is it, like, it can't, like, leave the wall that it's being projected on?
Well, let's
the floor?
Let's drop the ability to attack.
I like it providing the upper hand.
Yeah, that would be good.
Because it can just be an asshole to you.
What if it could grapple?
That's not a bad idea.
That's not bad either.
So grappling, the way it works right now, is that you roll to attack, so it would use your dex bonus. Mm-hmm. But it's also taking your turn. Like, it's not like it's an extra turn. Like, you're saying, I want, on my turn, to attack them. It's going to use my dexterity bonus. And then to maintain a grapple, you can use strength or intelligence.
Is it a shadow that's literally like a shadow? It's projected, like, you can move it onto a wall, or is it a shadow person, like... ghost.
It can manifest in any form your size or smaller.
What if we had
it can be a figure, like a shadow figure standing in the room that anyone can see. So it's not two-dimensional.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What if we had a certain totem for every line of zealotry that we'd been talking about?
This is
every aspect?
Decay.
Oh, sorry. I thought we were doing zealotry.
No. Mm-hmm.
You could argue the reason why you'd have the upper hand is it's like someone just feels
they
like
don't
someone,
know it's not real.
It's like someone's behind me. You know, like you just get that feeling, and that throws you off just enough. So it's like, you got the upper hand.
It doesn't get the upper hand.
Right. You get the upper hand.
No. It doesn't get the upper hand. It provides the upper hand to whomever
it's flanking
with.
Oh, yeah. Same thing. Yeah. Just gives that.
So maybe let's worry about the ability to see through its eyes and the ability to attack with it later down the line.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you've reached step three, you get the shadow, period.
Yeah.
So we just the movement. And upper hand, because that's huge.
And replacing.
And
yeah.
Well, I'm saying you could
swap places.
You bamf.
Yeah.
You bamf.
That's big if you can
leave it behind.
Or even a situation where when you create it, does it have to be next to you?
I think
or
maybe...
can you create it where you cast a shadow?
I think, well, that introduces some really complicated shit where it's like, where's the light coming from?
But also, you could get past traps. You could just be like, okay.
If it's not literally a shadow, you should probably just be able to cast. If you're like, oh, it's a three-story building. How do we get up there?
A projection?
Maybe it...
An astral projection.
Maybe it is created in a space next to you.
All right.
And then it has to
move. Or it like walks out of you. Like it's in your space.
Steps out from behind you.
Yeah, yeah. And then it takes a walk.
You can spend your action for it to move because it is you.
This is also totally a reason for Nesbitt to keep going down decay a little bit.
Oh yeah,
that
swap
would be
places with people.
But also
grant himself the upper hand
all the time.
Well, now in the situation where I'm being held hostage and the shadow walks out behind me, the guy's just like, "I'm just going to shoot you now because you're doing some freaky magic shit."
If we go further down this route, decay almost might need to change to shadow because we have malediction, we've got like all this death stuff. But like, if we allow you to like wear your shadow as a second skin and like do all this crazy shit,
which sounds awesome,
it could be cool.
Shadow mech.
We need more damage over time effects in decay.
Yes,
but
yes.
This is not. This is the utility.
I think next step when we get an. I think next step should be an at will, and that really.
I think next step should be a per scene. Well, people have got a lot of them by now. Mm-hmm. I think
because we got two at wills, and if we're heading to a fourth step, that's five down. And at will, that's a harder thing of the thing you already have, or a nice branching thing. Like more options is always cool.
Maybe it's step four. The at will you already have gets better.
We'll see when we get there.
Because I think at some point for scaling, we're going to have to replace things.
Yeah, but I also do want to increase the at-will toolbox for single-path characters.
Yeah, it needs to be pretty good.
I agree.
Because right now, if you're multi-classing or multi-pathing, you can have a couple at-wills and a couple of at-per scenes. I have two.
So do you swap places with it as a move action?
And does it have your speed?
It has your speed.
It has your speed, and it should be a move action.
Okay.
But you could still double move and do really crazy shit with that.
Yeah.
So you could stand there, cast, have your shadow do a bunch of stuff, move all the way on the other side of the battlefield, and then something could happen, and you just go, boop.
Say, may look like any creature your size or smaller.
Uh-huh.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I like that. There's a lot of utility there. Scoundrel.
Uh-huh.
Traps.
Yes.
So maybe you can create a trap. You can drop it as a swift action.
Mm-hmm.
To conceal it, you have to make a dexterity check that they have to beat with an awareness check.
Is dexterity right for that?
I don't know. What's sleight of hand?
Dexterity. So that's okay.
Let's not worry about the attack right now. Let's worry about what do traps do?
Bear trap.
Well, I was thinking, what if it's a trap? You can just create a trap to do anything. You can do it before the scene.
Uh-huh.
If you want to create a rudimentary trap that deals 1d6 damage or trips somebody. Maybe that's the two different things. It takes your attack action to do it. Because you've already got the shit on you.
To drop it?
No, to create it.
Okay.
Before the scene begins.
If you want to create it before the scene begins, you can do a bunch of different shit.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
During combat, what are my options then?
You need to create a trap during combat.
Yeah.
You spend an attack action. You can use it to trip somebody or deal 1d6 damage. So you have to pick which one you want to make.
Seems within reason.
Does seem way weaker than the shadow and the ice thing. Way weaker.
That's because we're saying, what do you do in combat? I think out of combat, you can load up a per scene spell in it or rig it with a weapon.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like data.
Does that use your per scene ability?
No.
And there we have it, folks. That's there we go.
So that's like great. laying down a trap that when you lure the person into it, it does the fire damage like Skyrim style.
Well, so let's imagine Nesbitt, mm-hmm. right, is going full scoundrel. He's not, but let's imagine he is. And he's like, hey, I got my trap ready. Maybe every trap you want to carry carries one slot. So we don't put a limit on him, just what you can carry, right? And he's like, hey, load me up with Pillar of Flame. We're not even in a scene. It's your per scene ability. Yeah. You just load it up. He's like, cool, thanks.
I have time to meditate on it and drop it in without it exhausting me.
Yeah, and you don't have to roll to hit because you're not in the heat of the moment. Like, you can just do it. You can load it up, and he's like, cool, thanks, bro. Puts it in his pack, drops it as a swift action. Maybe he has to have it in his hand.
Initially.
So maybe the feature is that you can draw and stow things that are not weapons with a swift action.
That's a good twofer.
That is useful, because you could be really creative with
that. That's a good twofer. Oh, and well, that makes making the utility one function for your character. If it doesn't work, that might be the stay for that path for you. That's one that almost anyone would want for any reason, always.
Yeah.
It is also very scoundrel-focused, is the idea. Oh, yes. It's right on brand. So traps take up one slot each. You can store spells in them. If you want to create one in combat, it can trip somebody or deal 1d6 damage if they stand on it.
Makes me think of the Goonies, the boxing glove belt.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Just, you get a double hit, you get that one and your weapon attack.
So how do you conceal? So in combat, if you want to drop a trap with nobody finding out about it, your role to conceal the trap, if you land a hit, could you drop it? I don't know. That sounds like you could really land some crazy fucked up combos if you did that.
No, but, I don't think you could do it in someone's face.
No.
Unless you pocket sanded them.
Yeah.
I think there needs to be two caveats to this. One, the scoundrel always knows where it is.
Yes.
Teammates can't.
What if you have to be behind a teammate?
What do you mean if you...
So, like, your line of sight...
You could get out a bonus.
Yeah. If you're behind at least one or two of your teammates, then the enemy won't have line of sight on what you're doing, and you would be able to lay it down without...
Yeah, and you could call out codes and shit to each other so you'd know what it is.
Because your scoundrel shouldn't be your front line.
Yeah. We learned that the hard way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Multiple times.
Don't send healer first.
So what do they roll to conceal the trap? It's dexterity, right? It's got to be dex.
I'm saying sleight of hand.
So you make a sleight of hand check to hide it. And now they could still be shoved into it.
Oh, yeah.
Multiple ways if they see it. But it's a sleight of hand check to hide it. It's a swift action to place it.
Yes.
Swift action to place it. A sleight of hand check as an attack action. Maybe it's an attack action.
What if
you spend an attack action to place a trap and conceal it?
What if you're knocked down?
I think so. Yeah, you can act while on the ground.
But like as a desperation, you just toss it out without having to do sleight of hand?
Yeah, well, I think you could do that anyway. You could just drop it out of your pack with no issue. Mm-hmm. Well, a swift action to draw it.
I guess it's whether you want anybody to see it or not.
Well, and there also be scenarios in which... If there's dust kicked up, if it's snowing, if it's...
Yeah.
There would be environmental...
It would give you a bonus to the conceal.
Yeah.
Yeah. A way to defend yourself if you get knocked down.
And if you just want to drop it, you don't give a fuck who sees it because you got a guff who's going to throw them into the pit anyway. Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they'll get an awareness roll against it.
Uh-huh.
And if they fail it, they fail it.
Yeah.
They'll have to act as though they don't know it's there.
What if it's a grenade that just says, pick me up?
Oh, man, that gets like a 17 bonus on compulsion. So what do we want to do next? So I feel like we've got Zealotry and the three damage-dealing mages.
Not Zealotry. We have Scoundrel.
Let's do...
Commander Citadel?
Let's do Champion.
All right.
We'll just go down the list. How about things for different weapon types?
Okay.
Piercing, say, like, bashing, cutting.
A berserker.
They get a bonus poison. To a specific type?
Or maybe it,
they make a choice?
There's a utility thing. Maybe they don't have to make a choice. They just, when they're using that weapon, it has this extra property that it doesn't have for anybody else.
Okay.
What would that be? What would bashing be? They already have a specific property that we've given them.
Yes.
But if you have a bashing weapon, what would you want? Choose to move the enemy back one square?
I do like...
That's not bad.
That's
actually great.
Okay.
If you're getting hit with something like that, you're pretty strong if you're standing still.
Yeah. Piercing, I mean, the easy one is immobilize. What about bleed?
I was going to say bleed sounds more fun. Mm-hmm.
For piercing, though?
Yeah.
Instead of cutting?
All right, well, what can we
do? You're right. Maybe cutting would be bleed. It's more of a surface.
But immobilizing is more... Immobilize might be better than the other two, like over the amount of times that you'd use all of them. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, you could think of situations where each one would be preferable, especially if there's a trap on the ground, you want to push a guy into it.
Yeah.
But
I mean, if you're going down the path of the champion and you have the piercing and you just make a calculated hit to immobilize them for one round or something.
What if
Because like, it shocks them because you're like, whoa, that was right in the soft spot.
What if piercing could have like an enrage, you know? Meh.
Well, let's take away things that remove enemies' abilities to act, right? So it's just an extra of what you do on your turn.
Yeah.
So bashing is you move them one square. It doesn't prevent them from doing anything, but you could think of great ways to use it.
It's an increase of force.
Yeah. And maybe if they're up against a wall, they take your strength as damage.
Yeah.
Additional.
Piercing, though. Does piercing already ignore certain armors? Like, we could say that
on critical hits with daggers only.
Maybe
armor bite isn't bad for piercing.
It's not. What if you're a warrior using a greatsword?
Yes.
Okay. And you want to use it as a piercing weapon instead of a cutting weapon.
All right.
You got
to
be precise.
You're hoping for decapitate, really. Like, I'm trying to think of like tropes.
That's cutting, though.
Well, yeah. Wouldn't that be cutting?
Yeah, that is. But what
if
is...
you just want to run them through? If you see, it's like, oh, they're... For whatever reason, the armor separates, and there's like...
You're looking for a soft spot.
A soft spot. You're like, oh, I can't cut that, but I'm going to run them through right down the middle.
Maybe an extra chance to hit?
What if maybe? It was... Or it's like a called shot almost.
Give it a...
But that's almost the opposite of what happens. It gets harder to hit.
Give it a one. Like
but
a...
you're counting on doing extra damage to an exposed area.
Could you crit on another a 1 and 20? Would that be too much?
That'd be huge. That'd be huge with those large die weapons.
Yeah. What about if you, with a piercing weapon, you could lunge?
Like move forward one?
No.
One hex?
Where you would, I think they call it a flange in fencing, where the idea is you could spend your move action to increase your reach by one.
Yeah.
Ooh, yes.
So in game, how would that work then?
So, for instance, if you don't want to leave your group and there's an enemy out there shooting you, you can move up to an enemy's two squares away and you've got a sword or a dagger and you would throw your leg out behind you and your dagger forward and be able to hit them from just outside of your range.
So in other words, you would be able to get across that middle hex there.
Yes. Now, if you've got a reach weapon, you get hit him from three away.
My first rapier
fight. But you have to spend your move action to do it.
Because you are making, it is like a quick move.
And you cannot move your feet once you've started this move. Like, it's not like you can do it and then run.
Right,
you know?
Right.
You're in it.
No, that's something.
But my first rapier fight, the person was 7 feet away from me. And I'm like, all right, I'm thinking. I'm like, okay, I got time to think. Nope, their sword was in my stomach. In like
immediately.
3 seconds. I couldn't think. I couldn't do anything.
But so that would make sense if you have like a claymore, right?
Yeah.
You can chop or pierce with it. And you can lunge with it if you really want to, but you're not moving from that spot. You're on one foot, you know?
Well, it's also interesting because the lunge feels, while an offensive action, is sort of a defensive move.
Because you're returning back to where you started.
And you can't use it for attacks of opportunity.
No.
So none of these apply to attacks of opportunity. Let's say that.
Because you're not there.
And you're also not able to really put yourself behind it.
You're kind of exposing yourself, too.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's say piercing and then cutting. Bleed.
Yeah.
Let's think of another one, just in case. Like
bleed damage is
1d4.
1d4
until they receive a heal.
Okay,
because that'll close the wound.
Yeah.
Okay, so 1d4 until healed. That's fine. I like all those.
Yeah.
It doesn't give you like some new toolbox though, except for so their features got to be good then.
I don't know. The thing about that is the diversity of that.
Yeah, but any one of them isn't as good as the one thing you get from something else.
That is true. But you're also not limited to one thing.
And that also feels like what we just described is a feature, not a utility action.
So versatile.
So let's say that's a really good feature
All right. For
step three champion, right?
Does the champion work in a way that it's like, okay, I'm a champion and I use a bashing weapon as my main thing and it breaks in the middle of battle, but then Ice Mage makes a claymore out of ice and hands it to me? Am I just as...
Yes.
Skill with it? Because that's champion path. You're just like all weapons kind of thing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, well then that's...
Champion is fighter, barbarian, like...
Being that
ranger
versatile,
even.
I think that makes up for it. Because if you're that versatile with those different things, then sure.
For cutting, that just makes me think, like when we're sword fighting, if you hit someone and you hit them but you miss, you can still cut. You push into the cut. So could there be something where if you miss on a hit,
I almost think it should
then
be
you get another roll to cut?
Like if that's going to be the feature, let's do a utility that's defensive, that's survivable,
for champion. How about
shielding?
No, I feel like movement. I feel like things like shielding, movement maybe, but shielding, that's Citadel. Like
okay, like a parry or something, like a
That's also more Citadel.
I think something like
you can't say it's like, well, that's too defensive. It's like we're talking about getting something defensive. Like we need
but that's,
I mean, if you're a champion, you should know how to parry.
Well, let's think of it from the perspective of like a pit fighter or
a counter. Is a counterattack if they have, do we already have something for a counterattack? Like if they miss hitting you.
There's a bunch of those.
Yeah.
Yeah. For different circumstances.
Most of them are Citadel too.
And Scoundrel, I think, is one of them. Yeah. Riposte, Reflexive Riposte.
Yeah.
Sack tap.
So what would you do as a champion that would provide you utility?
In and out of combat.
Maybe like rally? Something like call on the crowd. Like you, what? So command would rally other people, but champion could do something to themselves. Maybe give them a bonus on a skill check once they've landed
first
an attack.
Blood.
But then you can't use that out of combat. I like the idea of rally.
Yeah, rally yourself.
Yeah,
like
it's
yeah.
It could just be a situation of like you failed something, and usually that'd be it. But no, man,
the memory of things you've done before helped you out on a skill check.
I like the idea of getting a bonus to skill checks in and out of combat as champion. Something that requires a physical action.
Because you're a champion. You've been through.
Mm. You make the jump.
Yeah.
You roll the roll. You do the tumble.
Yeah, you jump the shark.
But it has to be a swift action. What would you do as a swift action? Like Hulk Hogan, you hold your hand to your ear. Like,
oh, yeah.
That kind of thing.
Or if you take a swing with a weapon and it misses you, then just punch
again. That's always in combat. We're looking for utility.
Yeah,
I like the just the idea of
you fail in diplomacy, you get to punch.
Like, no, you have to punch.
You have to punch.
It's automatic. There's no.
Yeah, you could just do a situation where like,
sorry, I can't sell you this.
Pumped up. I'm getting an adrenaline rush. I get these bonuses.
Yeah, maybe you spend a swift action to acknowledge the people who can see you.
Oh, just like wink to the crowd.
You showboat it.
Oh,
yeah. Showboating.
There we go.
You get but you have to be being observed.
Yeah,
you can't if you're by yourself.
It doesn't work.
Oh, I need a mirror. Like, I'm down in this hole, I can't get out. And it's like, well, we can't see you, it's too dark down there. Can you send your shadow person to watch me?
Everyone's like, come on, lift this thing. And like, who are you winking at? Come on, like, lift.
Watch me lift this thing.
So, spend a swift action to acknowledge observers. Get a +5 to physical skill checks.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is the witness me. Watch this sweet move.
Yeah.
This shit out.
Witness me.
Yeah, it's showboating. Yeah, okay.
Call it.
Bortles.
That one's really good. I feel like both of those are not overpowered, though, especially compared to the fuckery we'll get up to with Shadow.
Are you not entertained, is what that is.
Yeah, you're not entertained? That's when the fight's over. You get a bonus. All right, Citadel, tanks.
Utility.
What is utility that they can use as a swift action?
Take my shoulder.
Hmm.
If we have a situation, I almost like the idea of like, okay, so champion gets skill buffs from being observed. Citadel provides a buff to everyone, including himself. When the going gets tough, Citadel gets going.
I was going to ask, if does Citadel currently have anything that becomes active, or they get a bonus once a party member is injured or bleeding?
Yes.
Or
they have a reaction.
Yeah.
Okay, do we already have that then?
I mean, we can introduce ones later. I like the idea that these are all swift, like the idea that these could all be swift actions, at least to actuate them.
And this is for something that's also out of combat.
Yeah.
Yeah, in and out of combat, it should be useful.
It's a shame. I feel like Showboat was so useful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now it's like, all right, something more.
But Citadel is not a showboating thing.
Right.
No.
Yeah.
And you could make Citadel act as inspiration.
Something maybe we already have.
In a different way than command, you know.
We already have, like, immovable object or whatever, right? Something.
I think we
that.
Changed it. Yeah, we did change it. Why?
I'm just trying to think of something that's, like, showboating is, like, that's more to the character. You know, like that, it wasn't, it's not literally like a move you do. It could be literally anything. You can choose how you do it. But if you have like immovable object, it's like the opposite of showboating where it's like, no, you can't change my mind. Or like, oh no, you're not pressing the advance.
Ooh.
Or, oh, I'm not taking any effect from.
Or I'm not being moved.
Yeah. Like if it's like you in combat, it could be like someone does an intimidation roll or something's really big. And normally it's supposed to send you back a hex or something, but it won't work on you. And if you use that out of combat, it can be against diplomacy checks or other bluffing or something like that.
Well, what if it's just something that if you spend a swift action to ready yourself for something specific, you have an idea of what's coming and you're readying yourself, maybe you can prevent being moved or move gets lessened by half. And you can look away when the thing's going to look at you, you know, to possess you or something. Or
I think for flavor, it's got to be the thing tries to possess you. You stare it down and you say, no.
We don't have any mental stuff right now.
Yeah. You do, I think Citadel should be physically and mentally a fortress.
That's when the Incredible Hulk, he's like, that's my secret cap. I'm always angry. And then he literally catches the space whale.
Oh, no, I'm almost thinking the opposite. I'm thinking of the Purple Man staring down Dr. Doom.
And Dr. Doom's like, no.
No.
Hmm. Yeah.
Well, we don't have any mind-affecting stuff. So what's immediately useful? Lack of forced movement.
Is great.
It's good. You get...
like an endurance buff or something?
Yeah, you spend a swift action to reduce any forced movement by half. If it will only move you one space, you don't move at all.
At all, yeah.
And you get...
half rounded down.
Right, and you get a +5 bonus against anything that would... any mind-affecting things.
Like mind over matter or whatever?
Well, let's just say...
endurance, weather, pain, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, with maybe the exception of illusion. You can be tricked, but you can't be charmed.
Yeah.
Well, but even if you're tricked, like that a giant demon's coming at you, you still have braced yourself to not.
you're just not afraid.
Yeah.
Like, this is supposed to inspire fear.
Or you can just be afraid, but still not move.
Yeah.
That's courage.
Right.
Yeah, because an illusion, you can't be like, I'm so woke, I see through that. That's not really what Citadel does.
What would you call it? Like, stiff upper lipped?
Yeah.
Stiff upper lip? That's what I was like, stiff upper lip or mind over matter type thing, yeah.
I like stiff upper lip because it's got a better flavor. It's just tastier.
Well, that's because you have a mustache and you drink beer.
No, this cream soda in there right now, it's delicious.
So, swift action movement reduced by half. Things that affect pain or composure.
Yeah.
You get a +5 bonus.
I think that's arguably less useful than the champion's one.
Yes, it is.
It's dedication to character and the thing that you're wanting to do and how specifically it can be used. Means it'll probably and when be you used need
it
more.
Like when you need it, it's gonna be
nice.
Oh,
it's gonna be clutch.
You cannot be knocked down.
You're like, I'm spending 2 momentum to keep a stiff upper lip, and it's just like, oh shit, this is gonna be great. Like,
so they need a better feature then.
Yeah.
For this one. I mean, obviously I just want to be like, you can wield 2 shields. But
God, it would be tight.
Shield and buckler, and then you could still have a sword.
Oh, what if something like anytime your armor absorbs all of the damage, you can do something.
Yeah.
So when an attack hits you and your armor takes it and you don't actually suffer any damage,
yeah,
what would you get to do?
Move or attack or...
Because you're just like a nerf thing hits you.
Well, I would almost say...
add
like,
that to your next attack?
Make an opportunity attack?
This would be a situation where
because if they hit you and you were not affected, basically, seems reasonable.
Yeah, I think...
counter,
yeah, you just override them, like overpower.
Yeah, and it'd also be a situation of like, because how I'm imagining it happen is someone swinging at with you at, with a sword. They connect, but you rolled your shoulder into it, and you're just like, boop.
I like that. Okay, so absorbed attacks.
That could be.
Allow opportunity attacks. Depending on what you're fighting. Also, if you're Core Citadel, you get unlimited opportunity attacks.
Yes.
Command.
A buff is the obvious one.
A swift action for a buff to everybody. Maybe
I want more things that I can do. I know
I was about to say, like,
command is. I know you guys are that in the opinion weird, that command weird. Should be helping others,
right?
But I'm playing it
right.
The more things that I can do make me selfishly happy.
Then pick other paths.
I really cannot.
No, because
if you go 3 steps down command, you should get a little something to protect yourself.
Those are called literally your pawns.
I don't know. I'm trying to think of what I would value in the role of command as a utility action. Like, I wish as a swift action I could do X.
Right. Like if you need to move or get out of the way or...
You already got all those.
Shit, okay.
Because I'm getting in people's faces and then just like one weapon, you know.
You have the single best defensive at-will attack in the game. And you forget to use it. That's not a situation of command not being able to do things.
Yeah.
That's forgetting that you are also Citadel.
I don't know. Okay. I have no answer for this. But the idea of somebody in command locking eyes with the leader of the group they're fighting, giving them some kind of advantage, like making some kind of motion to be like, I'm on to you.
Kind of like a challenge.
Yeah, like a challenge.
You're not always going to see what the leader of the opposing party is, though.
Not always, but you're not always going to be able to use any of these.
I like that story-wise.
Yeah.
Because every movie has that, where the somehow the two
or maybe,
leaders
always
see each other.
We're always
talking
about how football coaches are playing each other.
Right. Maybe the skill is, if it's not already apparent, you could find who's in charge. Like, you can look, like you look over the battlefield, and you're like, that one's holding back, or that one knows what they're doing. That's the one calling the shots or something.
Yeah, but I feel like you could roll skill checks to get there.
Like tactics?
Strategize. You could roll awareness, you know, that kind of thing. It needs to be like a valid bonus it would give you.
Well, if you lock eyes with the other general and you just take less damage from anyone else, because that's always in the movies, like somehow the two can just walk through any battle. They fight, they can chop everyone down to get to the main bad guy, you know?
Yeah, and they just start walking towards each other and they're pushing people.
Doesn't matter how many people are in the way, they're just like dancing through, slicing. And
what if it's a morale debuff instead of a group buff?
Okay. Right, how do you do that out of combat?
Oh, I imagine it gives you a negative to attacks and skill checks.
Okay.
Right? So if it attacks, if it does skill checks, it's the people around you, right? So maybe like...
I'm just saying that happens less often than you. The environment is out to get you.
Well, right now in our campaign. I mean, so far.
Do you apes want to live forever?
Yeah, maybe you can choose to use it as a buff or a debuff.
Oh, I like that.
And it's a swift action, so it doesn't impede anything else you're doing. So you can buff all allies with direct line of sight to you.
Uh-huh.
With two... Would it be dodge, hit? What would you give allies? Not health.
No, and I think it should be offensive. It's, I mean, you'd help their morale, but we don't have a function for that. So the way you would see it is morale would be more aggressive.
Maybe a plus. If you'd make it a plus five bonus to skill checks, they'd shoot through the roof with stacking shit.
Yeah.
You'd
be a champion. You're like, plus 10. I jump. How far can I jump?
To the moon,
hey,
buddy.
Everyone, watch this.
Maybe a bonus to weapon damage and a debuff against the damage enemies deal.
Done. Even if it's only one and one, that's great.
Do allies add your composure to the damage they deal, or is it to the chance to hit?
Chance to hit.
So maybe that.
Okay.
Maybe you, as a swift action, give a battle cry, and it gives all allies for one round your composure as extra damage on their attacks.
Okay.
To hit, though.
No, on their damage. On their
damage. Because they're already...
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
So if you got, like, what, you have one composure?
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, the most you could possibly have is four, and you would be wrong for having that many.
Yeah.
Starting out. So, yeah, I like that.
Cool.
And we don't... If we do that, we don't need to also have a debuff.
No.
Well, what kind of... Maybe in a plus two to skill checks. Doesn't stack.
Okay.
So it doesn't stack with any other buffs to skills. Doesn't stack with items, kits, anything like that.
Yeah, because it's in the moment.
Okay. Battle cry.
Yep.
Until the start of your next turn, not the end.
Yeah.
Decay is the last one.
No, we already did decay.
We did decay, okay.
No, we have...
Radiance and Zealotry.
And Marksman.
Marksman would be the toughest.
I might have to...
Let's do Marksman next. How about banked shots?
I like it.
So you spend a swift action to... What would you spend a swift action to for a banked shot?
To calculate the trajectory.
Yeah. There has to be a hard surface.
Find the right spot.
And then you can up to a...
Do they already not take bonuses for firing through allies anyway, though?
If an ally is in combat with it, they don't take the negative four this far in.
If they're in combat?
Yeah, but if an ally is just blocking your view of it. And also, enemies provide cover to each other.
That's true.
Objects provide cover to enemies, you know? So what if you spend a swift action to locate a surface, and then you can make a single shot? Because I don't think you could use lunge with double strike, right?
No.
So it can only travel a total of your range.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But if something gives you increased range...
Should it go down in damage? I think it should after a bang.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you're sacrificing for it. So maybe it goes down one die size.
Yeah, because you'd be losing speed.
Yeah, so if I'm using a great bow, it's going down from a D12 to a D10.
Yeah.
D10 to D8.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, that's very useful, especially if you've got something like pinning shot. You want to,
oh yeah,
foist it, you know, behind a wall. Radiance. I feel like healing is.
We got enough of it on the table, man.
Do we?
I think we do.
Here's my issue, is I feel like Radiance, at least the way we're seeing it played with somebody who takes a dip into Radiance, is that they just use Burning Ray every chance they get, which I understand. It's a really good ability. There's no negatives to using Burning Ray. You're not going to take an opportunity attack for casting it. It damages and heals. It's not huge, but
you
it's good.
You can chip away at both ends every turn.
Oh, yeah.
And that's nice.
What what's a swift action for in and out of combat that Radiance can use? So what does Radiance do? It creates light.
What healing is missing from Radiance right now? I'm saying trauma. I'm saying broken bones. I'm saying in and out of combat once a day. You can fix something fucked up. Like
maybe. I'm trying to think of like what can light do? It could blind you.
Yeah.
It
can reveal something.
It can reveal something. It can cleanse things.
It can dispel something.
Hmm. Kind of like all of those. Maybe a swift action that's like. Remember World of Warcraft?
Removes any debuffs?
What's that?
Removes any debuffs?
Yeah. On one target. Remember Shaman in World of Warcraft have Purge?
Yeah.
They changed it. So back in the day, it would remove two buffs from a character. What if it removes a single buff from an enemy and a debuff from an ally?
Dope.
They have to be magical.
Yes. Perfect.
So like magical disease, yeah, gone. But you got the pox, sorry pal.
Can't do nothing.
Like that's a medicine, extended medicine check.
Anything within a certain radius? Or is it targeted?
Somebody within 30 feet.
So anyone within 30 feet, the enemies lose their buff and allies lose the debuff?
No. Singular.
Singular. Okay, you pick one.
You pick one.
Okay.
And you can only do it once per round.
That can still be.
So it's either or. Either I'm debuffing the,
an ally.
Or removing the debuff on an ally, or I'm removing the buff on an enemy, but not both at the same time.
Right. I feel like that's pretty good.
That's super solid. It fits in.
Including yourself.
Yeah.
Sure.
That's good.
Now, we don't have a lot of magical debuffs, so there's burning.
Yeah.
There's poison.
Malediction. So
I feel like venom, it should remove venom. Maybe like a power debuff. Like a let's just say it removes a debuff, but we'll call it like a, it removes an ongoing effect. Not covered by medicine, something like that,
or even poison.
Poison, no venom yes, because poison, like you've eaten and now there's a problem and you got to like induce vomiting or juice. Yeah. Whereas like venom, it's like it's currently coursing through your veins. Like I can do the thing to remove that.
Yeah. So, what's the old saying? It's like if a snake bites you and you die, it was venomous, but if you
eat the snake
and you die, it was poisonous.
Right. Cleansing light?
Yep.
Sure.
If it could also work on tainted food and water, that would be cool.
The shit's real bad. You can drink that water and then just don't worry about it.
No, you
it
just
anymore.
You put in a cup and you go, nope.
Purifies food and water.
That's a good out of combat worry.
Yeah.
Zealotry.
And we'll make a list of like, does not work on trauma or poison or disease.
Non-magical disease. You get the arcane diarrhea. You're cleansing light
that
of work.
That sounds awful.
You shit literal fire.
Does not work on non-magical trauma, poison, or disease.
Yes. But it would work on like enfeeble.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
So zealotry. I like the idea of shared zeal, but how do you share an aspect if you don't have the aspect? You know what I mean?
Yeah, then don't. We can't. Don't. No.
Share any effect. Share any or all effects that you currently have with an ally.
Ooh, I love that.
Until the start of your next turn.
Okay.
So, for instance, Zealotry can hit with the ability that will grant their next attack a +2 bonus.
Yes.
Then use a swift action to share that with an ally.
Yes.
Along with their aspect of war.
Could this work with Champion's Rally? Could this work with... Because if you start multipathing, you can have a lot of fun with that.
I think yes.
That makes it super good, and it naturally scales with how good whatever you're being affected by.
So you can use it any or all status...
Positive status effects, or should you also give the negatives so it becomes a problem?
Share all.
Yes.
Positive and negative.
Don't get that pox. It's only for a turn, so it wouldn't be killer.
With an ally adjacent? Do you have to touch
them? Yes. I like that.
The flavor of it's good if it's adjacent. Shared zeal. Share all status effects your character is undergoing with an adjacent ally until the start of your next turn.
Dope.
So you won't want to do it if it's it's like you're creating a link between the two of you.
Yes.
I like it. I think that's it, boys.
I do believe that is it.
Let's review. Okay.
All right.
All right. So to review, for specific equipment that provide a +5 bonus to skill checks that you can share with other party members that each take up one slot, we have a trauma kit, a climbing kit, disguise, thieves' tools, torturer's kit, cooking kit, swindler's kit, tent, chemistry set, 2 weeks rations, bedroll, hunter slash angler kit, cargo jacket.
Dope.
So obviously the bedroll and the cargo jacket don't provide a +5 to anything, and neither does a tent. But I feel good about all those. Now, for step three, for each path, some have gotten features. We'll give the rest features later, but each has gotten a utility swift action that they can use at will once per round. So champion's got a feature that changes the properties of the weapon damage type that they're implementing. So bashing, every time they hit, they can move an enemy. And if the enemy can't move because of obstructing terrain, they take additional strength damage. For piercing weapons, they can spend their move action to increase their melee reach by one for one attack. And for cutting, they will bleed for one die 4 damage until healed. And they got a utility action, which is a swift action called Showboat. They spend a swift action to acknowledge everybody observing, including their allies and enemies, and they get a +5 bonus to a physical skill check. Citadel got a feature where absorbed attacks allow them to immediately do an opportunity attack. And Stiff Upper Lip, swift action, forced movement reduced by half, and they cannot be knocked down. And a +5 bonus to checks against pain or composure.
Yes.
Command got Battle Cry, which is a swift action. It gives extra composure damage to all party damage until the start of your next turn, and +2 to all skill checks of your party. Decay got Shadow, swift action. It moves with your move. It swaps places. You can swap places with it as a move action. It can flank an enemy with allies to provide the ally the upper hand, and it may look like any creature your size or smaller. Fire gets 3 fireballs that they can sustain. They can move up to 100 feet away from you. 1d6 fire damage if an enemy walks into them or if it hits them. You spend a move action to move the fireball, including into an enemy.
And the fireball shouldn't persist after being hit.
Yeah, the fireball vanishes after,
yeah,
if it hits a target.
Being or disrupted, or like you should be able to attack it too and just go like, fuck off.
It vanishes if it deals or takes damage. Plus, if somebody spends their attack action to attack a fireball.
They're a fucking idiot.
Yeah. But yeah, you can
unless
have
it's
going to
make something explode.
Yeah, you can
and
have
you're
it,
like,
bro.
Ooh.
Then it's really smart to do that.
Yeah.
Ice, you can create and sustain 2 basic items with no moving parts until the end of the scene. And you can change them and dismiss them or whatever as a swift action. Marksman, banked shot. You spend a swift action. You can bounce a shot. It travels a total of your range and damage is reduced by 1 die size. I like that one a lot, actually.
That's, you could have so much fun with that.
Yeah. Now, if you can't see the enemy, you're still going to take negatives, obviously.
Yeah.
But if you can see them, but they're, you know, behind, you can still do it. Radiance got Cleansing Light. Remove debuff from ally, remove buff from enemy. Purifies food and water. Does not work on non-magical effects. Scoundrel, the feature they got was they can draw and stow non-weapons as a swift action. And as utility action, they got traps. Each trap takes up 1 slot. You can store at will and per scene spells. Or as an attack action, you can create a trap that will deal 1d6 of physical damage or trip an enemy and knock them down as an attack action. If you want to lay down a trap you've already made, it takes attack action to conceal it. It's a sleight of hand with a dexterity check. Zealotry, shared zeal, swift action. You share all of your status effects your character is undergoing with an adjacent ally until the start of your next turn. That one's really good.
That one's super good.
I think they're all pretty good.
There, I can already imagine situations in which that would change the nature of the encounter.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I feel like that's it, guys. I feel good about it. I want to thank all you amazing listeners for listening. If you haven't heard yet, but you've been listening somehow this far, we have a Patreon. Every rule change we make goes into a rule book eventually and gets released to you guys. Also, changes to character sheets, any future polls we make, as well as unreleased audio that is not on topic, which there is a lot.
It's too much, really.
Yeah, there are different tiers to handle each one of these things. Please donate. We are doing everything we can to release a quality product and get it out to you guys so you can start playing and tell us your stories of what you've done with this game. Also, you can contact us on Facebook. It's facebook.com/RPGFS.
And you can find us at Twitter at @homebrewhombres.
And on Instagram at @RPGFromScratch, all one word.
That's right, and we love you all, and until next time, stay safe, stand watch, and get a full rest.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.